Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live, on the air, and online right now, so you can be a part of the broadcast. If you have a question or need direction for the troublesome issues of real life, we invite you to call now. The number, 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC. Or the full number, 844-322-2742. This is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thank you, and we do have plenty of open lines right now available for you. Go ahead and dial the number, 844-322-2742. That's 844-322-2742. We would love to hear from you on today's edition of Basic Gospel. Andrew Farley joins me today. Andrew, yesterday we talked about holiness, the fact that in this new covenant we have been declared holy, made holy by God himself. We see from the Old Testament that that was one of the commands of God to the people, that they were to be holy because he was holy. And in 1 Peter, Peter wrote this, "Therefore prepare your minds for action, be self-controlled, set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy." So how does this newfound holiness that we've been given by grace in this new covenant live itself out in our day-to-day lives? How do our day-to-day lives start to take on the look of holiness?
Yeah, you know, Bob, every single day we wake up and we make choices. We make choices about what clothes to put on. We usually, if we're smart, we wear things that fit us and look good on us and go with our personality. And in the same way, I mean, we're seeing this in the Bible. The Bible says put on love and put on compassion and put off bitterness and put on Christ. And so really we begin to look at behavior as clothing that we put on. And you say, well, what kind of clothing should we put on? Well, stuff that matches. We put on clothing that matches our identity. And that's where it's important to see, you know, I'm not my clothes. I have an identity, and now my clothes need to match my identity. But my identity is I'm holy, I'm blameless, I'm sanctified as a person. Now let's look at my behavior. And that's what you read in 1 Peter. It doesn't just say be holy. It specifically says be holy in all you do, or be holy in your behavior, another version says. So we're talking about behavior matching the sanctified selves that we already are.
It's an interesting analogy, Andrew, because, you know, so many of us pick clothes and choose clothes and wear the clothes that we do to make a statement about ourselves. It's not necessarily a reflection of who we really are. It's the idea of who we want others to see us to be. Mm-hmm. So we wear the clothes in order to be something, and sometimes we take that same analogy as far as behavior is concerned. We're doing all of these things in order to become holy. I read my Bible more in order to become holy. I pray more in order to become more holy. I go to church. I give my money. All of those activities we engage in to become holy. But that's just the exact opposite of how the New Testament lays it out for us, isn't it?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, you've hit the nail on the head there. I mean, we've got things backwards, the cart before the horse, so to speak, and we're doing in order to be. That's what you're saying. We are doing in order to become something. And the Bible, the divine order that God has given us, is the polar opposite of that. He's saying, you are holy, therefore act holy in your behavior. So you are who you are by birth, not by what you do. This is why Jesus said, you've got to be born again. So you get your identity through a new birth, not through new actions.
Well, let's talk about it on today's broadcast. The number to call is 844-322-2742, 844-32-BASIC. What are some of the ways that you have tried to become holy more holy in your mind and the minds of others, and climb up that ladder of holiness that we think God has for us to climb. We would love to hear your input on that. Again, the number to call is 844-32-BASIC, 844-322-2742. So join us right now. We would love to hear from you. Andrew, in your own life, was holiness a driving force? Was that something that you wanted to become? And what kind of activities did you engage in to make yourself more holy?
Oh, my goodness. Absolutely. I mean, holiness, being set apart as God's right-hand man, that was absolutely the goal. I took what I thought was a very early church approach. I would go out onto the streets of Greece and Italy. I was in halfway houses and jails and prisons. I was skipping class and failing out of school in order to share Christ on the streets. I was doing it all so that I could feel holy. I was doing it all so that I could finally feel good inside, so that I could relax and sleep and know that I had been blameless that day. And so, you know, Bob, you look back at that and I just say, I was at the center of the equation. It was all about me becoming okay. It was about me getting right. And again, that's backwards. What I needed to know, if I could travel back in time and tell that young man something, I would tell him that he was already holy, and that the holiness was a gift, and that he didn't have to try to be God's right-hand man. God had already seated him at his right hand. And all of that is free. It's free righteousness. But that wasn't in view for me. I knew I was going to heaven. But as far as free righteousness, I didn't have a clue.
Well, let me ask you this. Did, you know, after all of that activity and doing all the things, and you were obsessed. I mean, you were driven. You were a driven young man doing everything that you could to achieve that status. When you went to bed at night, did you actually think that you know your behavior had made you holy for that day? Mm-hmm. Or did you still question that? Did you still wonder if what God really thought about you?
Yeah, it was never over. I mean, and that's the thing, is that when the enemy can hook a person like that, then there's always a greater thing to do. There's always more to be done. There's always another hoop to jump through in order to feel okay. And that's how the enemy hooked me. He took a sincere desire, a love for God, a desire to live the Christian life. He took that desire and he warped it and he twisted it. And I was suckered into the sales pitch of do more and be more in order to feel okay. And the problem is, that's a bottomless pit.
It is a bottomless pit. I know in my life, holiness really wasn't, a huge motivation. I learned pretty quickly that that was going to be impossible for me. I wanted to be God's guy, and I certainly, you know, gave it my best shot. But the writing was on the wall pretty fast. You know, it's like, I can't do it. So I became obsessed with trying to get these guilty or these black marks from beside my name. And mm-hmm. and the more I tried to do that, the less forgiven that I felt. And it just, again, was a bottomless pit. So you trying to make yourself holy, me just trying to keep the black marks from adding up too much. Yeah. And that's the wrong way of trying to live. And the good news, the fact that Jesus Christ is alive, and through his death, he has provided something for us. And that's what we read yesterday. And by that will, the very will of God the Father that was made effective through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. You who are listening today, look up this verse, star it, underline it, because it's true of you. If you are in Christ, the blood of Jesus has made you holy. You are set apart for God's use, and you will never be any more holy in God's sight than what you are at this very moment. That's mind-boggling.
Yeah. You know, Bob, we were looking at our past, and I was telling you about mine, and you were telling us about your past. And you know, people out there listening, they might think, well, you know, those were just young, naive Christians. That's not the majority. That's not the majority teaching out there. But, you know, what we find is that as we grow up and we go to church and we hear all kinds of teaching all over the planet, the most popular teaching on sanctification is that you as a person are progressively getting sanctified. The most popular teaching on forgiveness out there is that you as a person are progressively getting forgiven little by little as you ask for it. And so this is not about, you know, us just being young and naive. It's about a teaching that has permeated Christianity ever since the Apostle Paul walked the earth trying to clear these things up.
Yeah, I mean, that's why Paul wrote to the Galatians and said, "You foolish Galatians, you started with the Spirit. Why are you now trying to perfect yourselves through human effort?" And that is what most teaching really focuses on, that human effort, how to get people more engaged in the process. And God hasn't called us to human effort. He's called us to a life of faith, believing, being fully persuaded that what he says about us is true and living out of that truth. That's what Basic Gospel is all about. This is Basic Gospel. My name is Bob Christopher, along with Andrew Farley. And Andrew, we always love having you with us, and we certainly invite your call now, 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. We're going to start in O'Fallon, Missouri, and talk with our good friend Brad. Hi, Brad.
What a wonderful day. Just to be able to hear Basic Gospel, it's part of my daily life. I also love hearing from Andrew. And you know what you guys have been bringing forth all month long? And I am so blessed to have been given this years ago. But it's so important to realize when you're reading the scripture, you're seeing how God views you. And so many people are set on listening to how others say they should be or how others say they are. And when you get a hold of this, seeing yourself as God sees you and understanding the only performance he's looking at is the performance of his son and his finished work. And you look at all the verbs you talked about yesterday, Andrew did, on past tense. You have been made holy. That's not a future work on. That's a thing that's done and gone. And, I mean, it's not going to happen again. When we came into Christ, we are holy. We are justified. We are sanctified. And if someone can get into their thinking, the mind of Christ, and always view themselves as God views them according to what he said in his truth, I mean, you know, there people say that if you hear something long enough, you'll believe it or you'll do it. Well, I know sometimes that's a negative, but in the Word of God, I have believed it. I've heard it. I've believed it. And thank you, Jesus, I'm living it. And it's real. It's not something, it's not ink on the page for me anymore. It's true experience every single day living in the new creation. And I was reading in Matthew about the wineskins. And this, you know, I've heard that for years. But people, do they really understand that new wineskin is the new creation? Mm-hmm. That's who we are, and God wants to pour this new truth into that wineskin so we know who we are.
Yeah. Well, Brad, you know, your statement is so on point, and you know, everything you said reminded me of James 1. It says, anyone who listens to the word but doesn't do what it says is like someone that looks at his face in a mirror, and then after looking at himself in the mirror, he goes away and immediately forgets what kind of person he is. So, you know, the Word of God is that mirror, and the whole point of looking into the Word of God is to allow God to show us what kind of person we are. But sometimes we Christians, we're very good at looking into the Word for a moment and then walking away from that mirror and totally forgetting our identity. And when we use the Bible as just a manual of to do, what should I do, we're missing the whole point that the do starts with done. What's been done? What's been done to us? What's been done for us? How has God made us new? And when he puts that new wine of the Holy Spirit in us, you better believe he does not put the Holy Spirit inside of a dirty, rotten sinner. He puts the Holy Spirit inside of a brand new, holy creation of his.
If I might, I'd like to give you some advertising. You have two series, and I'm sure they're up on your website. And that one is I Am New, and the other one is Your New Identity. If people can listen to those two teachings on I Am New, Your New Identity, which where you explain through the Spirit what this sin in our members is, recognizing the source of feelings and all this other stuff that's against what God has said you are, if people can go to those and just listen and get washed by those teachings and learn what this new identity, this new creation is all about. I mean, God's really after to change our thinking by giving us a renewed mind.
Yeah.
And I use it every day.
Well,
and
thanks,
thank
Brad.
Thanks for letting me.
You bet. Sorry, brother. Yeah, you bet. I mean, you're talking about the Sunday morning messages at the website churchwithoutreligion.com. Thanks for mentioning that. This is Basic Gospel, and we're taking your calls right now live. Bob Christopher, you got an announcement or something to tell us right at this moment?
Well, I want to tell some folks about a resource that we talked about yesterday, New Covenant Journey Study Guide. And all month we've been talking about the New Covenant, this idea of being made holy, not even an idea. It's truth. It's reality. It's what Christ has done for us through his shed blood. This is part of this New Covenant. Well, we've prepared a wonderful resource called the New Covenant Journey Study Guide. We want to make that available to each and every one of you. Got a great little note yesterday, Andrew, from a good friend out in Phoenix. He said, I'm currently using the New Covenant Journey Study Guide to teach three new believers the truth of the New Covenant. He says they're like sponges. Their hearts and minds are truly being transformed by the Father's love. He says, thank you for providing such helpful resources that even those new in Christ are not intimidated by the material and are eager to study them. And then he writes this, by the way, I want to help get the word out in 2015. Trust me, I will continue to support Basic Gospel financially and prayerfully as long as the Lord allows. And we're certainly grateful for men like Max who use the resources to spread the word, to get the word out and into the lives of others. And by using the New Covenant Journey Study Guide, and we encourage you to pick up a copy of that as well. It's available at our website at basicgospel.net. And while you're there ordering a copy, why not consider making a contribution to Basic Gospel so that this good word can get out and into the lives of others? We certainly need your help. There are many people out there that need the Lord, that need to know that in this new covenant they have been made holy by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Connect people to that wonderful, life-changing truth. Well, Andrew, let's go to Brooklyn and talk to Louise. Hi, Louise.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing fine.
Yes. You know, I've been having, well, you know my problems, but they have gotten really, really bad where I don't get out of bed no more. And my health is like, just let's say that I feel I'm at my end. But I want to ask you something. General, what do they call that? Generational curses?
Are there such a thing as generational curses? Is that your question? And
yeah.
If so, is there a way out of them?
Yeah, because I came from a family which was, I'm not going to go into the whole thing.
Well, why don't we do this, Louise? Why don't we just jump in? I think we know what you're trying to ask there. And let's see if we can get into the Word of God and give you some help and others who may be asking the same question about generational curses. What does the Word of God have to say about that, Andrew? Are those a real thing? Do the second, third, and fourth generations get punished for the sins of their fathers? How are we supposed to think about that?
Well, you know, we have to think in terms of covenant here. I mean, first of all, we're under a new covenant, and you say, what does the new covenant free us from? Well, it frees us from the curse of the law. The Bible says that we are redeemed from the curse of the law, Louise. So you're a person, if you're in Jesus Christ, if you've received him, then Christ bought you. That's what redeeming means. He bought you back. He purchased you with his blood. And so he's not interested in sharing you with anyone else. And so a Christian is not, you know, doesn't need to fear being under some sort of generational curse. Your identity, your value, your worth, your personhood, none of this comes from previous generations. If you're in Christ, your identity and the fact that you've been blessed, all of it comes from Jesus himself. And, you know, we're almost asking the wrong question sometimes when we have believers who are saying, you know, am I cursed? Am I cursed? Am I cursed? Well, the Bible really tells us that we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. So I just want to encourage you, Louise. I mean, you obviously you have some physical circumstances going on. You're concerned about your health. Planet Earth comes at us. It's very painful. It can be very awful at times, very difficult. But that's not God's blessing or God's curse. That's just planet Earth. I mean, just like the early church, people who were sincere and eager and dedicated, still many of them were tortured and killed. And, you know, Paul suffered from an illness of some kind, a thorn in the flesh, and Timothy had stomach problems. And these were, you know, these were apostles and pastors and people who obviously knew the gospel. So don't let the enemy deceive you, Louise, into thinking that your physical condition is your fault, or that it's the result of your sin, or the result of your ancestors' sins. You are a child of God, holy, redeemed, purchased by Jesus, and he has blessed you, not with every physical blessing, but with every spiritual blessing. You are deeply, deeply loved.
Well, Louise, we always love hearing from you, and thanks for joining us today on today's program. We sure love and appreciate you and are always praying for you, my friend. Well, let's go to Richard listening to us in Fairfax, Virginia. Hi, Richard.
Hey, it's really good to talk to you. I've been listening for about 2 weeks, and I can honestly say it's an answer to prayer. I've been suffering under the weight of trying to be perfect in this Christian life, and trying to, even so much as trying, the belief, I guess, early on in my church was that if you get a bad thought, it's from the devil, and you've got to cure your thought, you've got to fight the thought, and I've been bound up for so long, and then I hear this today, and it's like God has just opened my eyes. I feel joy again in my Christian walk. I don't feel this dreaded, like, performance that I've even went so much as not sleeping at night because I was having bad dreams and I thought it was from the enemy. This is telling me right now, it's telling me that I am made holy in the name of Christ, and that just, I just want to rejoice. I mean, because I live a pure life, but there are some things, you know, a thought pops in your head and you're like, wow, now I realize that I am holy, and that there's not, that my performance, it's not my performance that the Lord is concerned about. I'm already there because of Christ's sacrifice, and I want to say thank you.
Well, Richard, thank you so much for calling. That's why we do the program, isn't it, Andrew, to get the word out. Folks are struggling under the weight of performance-based Christianity. They're working as hard
group
as they
philosophy.
Possibly can. And that's just not the way of the Word of God. It is always a life of grace through faith. And, Richard, we're so thankful that you tuned in a couple of weeks ago, and we just pray that you will continue with us on this journey of growing in the grace of God.
In answer to prayer, God bless you. I mean, I was to the point of going to see a Christian psychologist because, you know, it's all day long you're fighting the fight. That's not the way, and there was no joy. That's not the way the Lord intended it. I read the Bible every night, and it still wasn't, I still didn't have the joy because, you know, now it makes sense. I just am a little hurt that the churches aren't, you know, I go to what I consider a good church. I'm just hurt that the church doesn't teach this.
Yeah.
It's very sad.
Well, Richard, what I'm going to do is put you on hold, and we're going to get some more information, and want to send you some resources that I think can really help ground you in this grace of God that you have in Christ Jesus. You hang on, okay, my friend, and thank you so much for your call. Well, this is Basic Gospel, and for Andrew Farley and the whole entire Basic Gospel team, so long, and we'll see you again on Monday for another live edition of Basic Gospel.